If you look at it, you like it, and you want it, I will give you a piece to do your thing.
Let's do it. To really just discuss an acquisition live on a podcast, do you realize how much value is in this conversation right now?
I just talk shit and people seem to like it.
This right here is how millionaires are made. This is how it happens. Like when you're driving down the road and you see someone in the $1 million house and they're actually making real businesses and selling real stuff and providing real jobs, this discussion is what that is.
What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now. Travis, welcome back to the show, motherfucker.
Happy to be back, dude. I missed you.
I missed you back. And considering how difficult of a guy I am to get a hold of, I think it's really healthy for you to be giving me a few challenges and curveballs because it's a good reminder of how I make other people feel on a regular basis. Thank you for mid-closing escrow on a house and fucking... Yeah. $1 million fucking project for making room to hop on a fucking podcast. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Like, we had a lot of fun bullshitting on the last show. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I did my little like preliminary briefing and like your girl reached out to me and, you know, requested or you be a guest and thought it was a good fit and blah, blah, blah. And I like, you know, had Stephanie, who's actually right over there, you know, give me a quick little fucking one pager on you, whatever. And then after I decided I liked you, I did a lot more digging and I was like, damn, we wasted our time being buddies. And you're a fucking pleasant guy, don't get me wrong, especially for a Mormon. But dude, you're an impressive and accomplished and like very, very high level motherfucker. So today, first of all, I want to hear about Chambers Media. And then I have a couple of other questions about like a LinkedIn article that I saw and like just some other shit that's just like disgustingly viral where I'm like, damn, I thought I was the big swinging dick in the room. And then when I see somebody that's punking my numbers, I'm like, hell yeah, I want to be around that. So without even talking about like maybe necessarily like the technicality if somebody were to try to mimic Chambers Media, not necessarily that piece, but tell me about like the structure of the company, what kind of clients you look for, your approach. I mean, advertising and digital advertising is obviously that sweet spot, that marriage somewhere between like highly nerdy and analytical and like here is my like measured, calculated approach mixed with creative copywriting, content, visual things people want to see. You know, that's, it's like the two worlds very much have to integrate to get something that produces really well, right? Because it's like, what is the content? And then how are you distributing it? Where are you distributing it? What is the appeal? How do you have a proper respect for that platform, et cetera? So you clearly have something figured out. What I want to hear about is the base framework of the company, how it's set up, like who you have, what your teams are, employees, whatever, what you look for in a client. They come to you needing or wanting something. So tell me about their need and then tell me how your approach is and what your process is to filling that in 10 seconds or less.
All right. Yeah.
I don't even know how you responded with a witty joke to that. It's just literally impossible.
I'm like, I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is cool because what we do applies to everyone and everything about your podcast about Inside Out Empowerment, because anyone that's doing something meaningful or worthwhile is worthy of projecting that. And the way to project that right now is video. And so what we do
That was very well said. I like that.
I appreciate it. I got to tie it in. So what we do is we make high production videos that are designed to drive sales, which sounds very basic. It's actually extremely difficult to do well.
And then we run them. I've always said you a basic bitch.
Oh, dude.
Do you know why basic bitches, what is it, always walk in groups of two or even numbers?
I haven't heard this one.
Because they literally can't even. Oh, no, they walk in odd numbers. That's what it was. I fucking blew that one. My 9-year-old told me that joke 2 days ago. Anyway.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, he's a savage. I'm like, you're 9? Do you even know what being a basic bitch is?
Set up good for the world.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny? I was in the hot tub with my son 2 nights ago. He's 2. He's almost 3. And he's a baby. Like, 3-year-old boys, 2-year boys are not masculine in any way. When I get up and I'm like, are you a little girl? Or are you a man? And I start like pounding my chest. Be like, if anyone takes your toys, just pound your chest. Just be like, I'm going to crush your head. Give me that toy. And then I'm like, but also say, like, if I want you to share a toy, I will let you share a toy. And he's like, no, I'm a baby. I'm a little girl. I'm Wonder Woman. I'm like,
God damn it.
What am I going to do? I need him to hang out with your 9-year-old.
Ooh,
I'm probably messing him up big time with the hyper-masculinity. I need to just let him be a non-gender person for like 2 or 3 more years before I like take him hunting. Actually, I probably shouldn't take a 4-year-old hunting. Anyways, I'll take him basic hunting.
You want to know what you do is you reinforce whatever it is that their strengths are and develop enough certainty and sense of self that they will be able to reinforce and hold their own space in the world, regardless of what the challenge is, which is oddly enough, not a masculine trait, but when a man does it, is perceived as an alpha male.
Yeah, I've already decided, like, I'm not going to push him to be anything. I'm going to like find out exactly what he is as soon as possible and then give him all the tools and support to like be the best in the world at it by like 12. So if like he has an analytical left mind and he like likes code or engineering, he's going to be in a STEM school. He's going to have a muscle car to work on. He's going to like, or if he's like not smart and physical, like, we're going to take him on tour, on freaking motocross tour. And like, it's like whatever he does, even if it's not masculine, if he's like, dude, I'm going to be the best hairdresser in the world, I'm going to be like, done. Let's do this.
Yeah. You know what Noah's middle name is?
What?
Foster.
Oh, that's cool. Like a verb.
To nurture, to cultivate, that's, you know, cool. And that's what you're going to foster, whatever it is that is his strength. I digress. Now, back to Chambers Media. Anybody that has something worthwhile that is worth demonstrating needs to be projected to the world. And the way to do that is video.
So what we do is we create high production videos that are extremely compelling, entertaining, shareable, engaging, and they keep your attention. They're super fast. Usually we use humor because the second you use humor with someone, it disarms them and you can sell them without being annoying.
I watched a competitor video that you did for a supplement company that will remain nameless because I'm never in a million years going to give them my free press of Inside Out and Power in the top 10 right now. But I was entertained the entire, I was sitting there laughing like, this motherfucker wrote this. I'm like, wanted to text you and be like, give me your copywriter's name. Like, this is fucking money. Like, everything about it is so not, I'm trying to be cool, I'm trying to be buff, I'm trying to be whatever. It's like sincere and also funny as fuck. It's like, I'm demonstrating value while keeping you entertained. And I was like, that's exactly what this guy said he did, which I'm like, okay, everybody says they do that. But sincerely, dude, like, humor aside, you fucking nail it. And I watched about like 8 or 9 of your ads that have some disgusting fucking high analytics, by the way. So props to you, because like the nerd value is giving me like a fucking 4 inches of fury below the desk right now. But also as a human being, they're funny as hell to watch. So I don't know what your fucking formula is or secret sauce, but I'm really excited that Rev Labs and Chambers Media are putting something together, because I'm just like, I want to fly out to Utah now and just like get production underway, but you have your process. So I'll be sure to appreciate that.
I really appreciate that. And like, it's not been easy to like figure the model out, and it hasn't been successful every time. It's just, you know, as exciting it is, like our batting average is maybe like 80%, which is, dude,
that's unheard of. That's fucking,
if I was in the major leagues, I'd be happy, you know? So,
okay. So talk to me about your process. Somebody comes to you, you said it's, you know, anyone that has value, right? So, you know, what if I'm a guy and I'm like, I want to promote my hair salon. I don't know. It might or might not be in your league, but who are you looking for when they approach you? How does it work to get from, I'm a supplement company that does, you know, 80 grand a month to they've been through the Chambers Media secret sauce. You have your different teams set up, which I like how fragmented you are with the different people with their specialties, because they kind of go and you storyboard and then it goes into production and all the stuff that I have to manage myself with my marketing people. In-house, I don't get to just be the visionary. I have to babysit the whole process. And it's primarily, and I mean this with the most defense possible, I fucking hate ad agencies. Advertising agencies are bottom feeders. They're bottom feeders.
Bottom feeders.
I think they're leeches with jargon that take advantage of fucking entrepreneurs that are spending every dollar they can to grow the thing they care about. Yep. And people are unskilled and don't give a fuck, are taking a percentage of ad spend, which is why it's refreshing. Like, dude, I don't even think I've been open to a conversation or a pitch in the last like 6 years from an ad agency. And I actively approached you and was like, I need you to do something for Rev Labs.
It's because it happens even worse at the Fortune 500 level, like the Mad Men level. It's like, actually, one of my friends who I can't say what he works on, but it's a Fortune 50 company.
Text message to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. He texted me last night and he's sitting in a room with a $4 million budget that literally probably 300 people are going to see. And they're all like, patting themselves on the back because it's so creative and witty and innovative and cute and cool. And they're probably going to get an ad award, but it is doing absolutely nothing for the brand. It is just self-confirming. It's just like, it's ridiculous. And so that's why we got rid of all the BS and we just said, look, let's drive sales. Let's connect everything we do to driving profit. And if we don't, it's a complete failure.
My man.
It's ROI based. Yeah, ROI based.
But with a branding feel.
Yes, exactly.
You talk very much about why the brand is good and cool and connective.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You have a lot of like ethos, like a lot of emotional credibility in your pitches, like real life shit. People can be like, oh, I can relate to that thing.
Yep.
But it's not just like sitting there where you're watching like a Geico commercial and it's like, No, I have really good news. They're like, the baby's okay. And they're like, no, I just saved 15% by switching to Geico auto insurance, which is funny, but not relatable and doesn't mean.
That's just an impression game. How many times can I pound Geico into someone's brain? And there's a place for that at the Fortune 500 level, but I quit the Fortune 500 world. Like, that was my world. I'm talking like Kraft. I took Old Navy from 3 to 8 million followers on Facebook. Like, that was my world at an agency. And
Old Navy, like, never heard of them.
I'm done. Like, I want to work with companies that are $2 to $100 million who are in the growth phase, because I think there's way more money there. I don't think anyone's paying attention to them. They have just as big budgets. And you get to work directly with a founder or someone who actually cares about the success of the company, not some corporate lifer vice president who just wants a nice house and a Mercedes and doesn't have any freaking brain in his head. So that was it. I was like, I'm done. I'm going to focus on making people money that are not some, like, you know, not owned by Warren Buffett and not owned by some
PepsiCo
board. No, I want to work for someone that's owned by like four people, and I want to put money in their pockets.
The day I got good enough to start smashing Muscle Farm in any PPC campaign I wanted to do, my whole world changed. A, because of the ego stroke, but B, I just learned you don't fucking go take a bull head on.
Have you met the founder? Do you know that guy, DeLuca?
I don't know the DeLucas, but
he's here in Boise. right down the street from me. I run into him all the time. Really cool guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah.
He has business.
Kill Muscle Farm.
No, well, what I'm saying is they're a fucking monster, but budget wise, but like their cleverness, their creativity, their agility is like their shit's being run. Like, dude, go look at their fucking Instagram.
Monsters have weak spots.
Exactly what I'm saying.
They got weak spots.
You pick your angle and you can outperform them with a budget that's half of their spend with 5x the ROI. Anyway, you go look at their shit. You'll make your own judgment. I'm sure you'll see what I'm saying.
Do you know what's crazy is the fact that you are doing millions and millions a month with a supplement company. If you think about it, supplements are one of the more commoditized things in the world.
Oh, it's saturated as fuck.
And I honestly think that people who are making it in supplements are some of the best entrepreneurs in the world, because if you are killing it in a commodity, that means you are good at marketing and you're good at innovation and you're good at messaging and you know how to differentiate. And that's actually been a huge insight for us, is you do not need to be first.
Never.
Biggest.
You don't want to be first. You don't want to be biggest. You want to be third. You want to be fourth.
Exactly. You know what Bill Marriott said? Marriott started
Never heard of him.
Marriott founder started with A&Ws. And he opened his first hotel. After 5 or 6 of them, someone interviewed him and said, "How are you so successful?" He said, "I'm never the first hotel in the city. I'm always the second." And there's a lot to be said for that.
You want to be far enough ahead that you can paddle before the wave passes you, but you never want to be the first guy up, because the concept's not proven yet.
We weren't the first to do what we're doing. I mean, at the current moment, there's literally only 3 players doing what we're doing the way that we're doing it. And it's crazy, man, because like I used to be really scared of people copying us, but the years have gone by. People have tried and failed, and someone will figure it out. People will figure it out. I actually think there's some teams that are internal companies that have gotten really good at it. But as far as agency models, like, no,
Travis,
like it's.
You were asking me to help you with the project we were talking about right before we started recording. You were asking with a little bit of, oh, I might have an itch that you have the capacity to scratch, right? I'm going to introduce you to my partner in that venture. He's a guy I've mentored now for about 4 years, and I've just coached him out of job till he was finally running his own shop. And I've just helped him multiply like it's going out of style. And I never take on more than maybe two. Two is a lot. People that I'm mentoring, and I've mentored this guy for like 4 years. Every time somebody catches on to what I'm doing and starts to mimic keywords and mimic like the fucking display and the placements and like just is wising up, he gets all fucking like, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bring it on. I want you two to talk so you can hear him quote what I say about competition.
Yeah.
Bring it. Let them.
The more competition, the more validation.
And I will eat their fucking lunch and owe you and I told you so. And I love the opportunity to show you how much motherfucking better I am than other people that want to come fucking play copycat.
I love being number two, because number one makes you money. Burger King is next to McDonald's for a reason. They don't distance themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go right up next to them.
Talk to me about your process.
So here's what we do. Client comes to us with a product. First thing we do is an audit. We audit the account and we say, is this thing scalable or not? Doesn't matter if there's problems. Doesn't matter if it's profitable. Doesn't matter. We say, it's a dog. It's a win. It's almost like Shark Tank, but data, not just some billionaire's opinion.
Yeah. Being like, ooh, if I'm completely right or completely wrong, this makes no difference to my life.
It pisses me off, the Shark Tank guys. They're like, well, I don't see the market for it. And you're like, you got no data. Like, what do you?
How would you know?
It's a gut level thing, but.
Yeah. No, I'm like, how would I know? Like, I'm fucking better with my pay-per-click campaigns than like, I think anybody that has ever sat next to me to kind of like, I'll show you mine, you show me yours type shit. And I don't even make presumptions about campaigns because, and I joke, you never know when the pay-per-click gods are going to smile on you.
You're usually wrong.
Yeah. Like, dude, I will have every justification from historical blah, blah, blah in the world. And you launch it and it's just fucking completely
simple.
I've developed the discipline to not presume. until the data starts guiding me. You know,
you simply cannot predict human behavior. You can't. You could be 50, 60, 70% accurate. Like you can be on the plus side of 50-50. That's what comes with experience, but you can't predict human behavior.
And getting things really wrong with really huge budgets enough time that you just are like, okay, I've taken that beating. What did I learn? Okay. Took that beating. What did I learn? You know?
Yep. But all that being said, you do have to jump off the cliff with the gut sometimes.
No argument, but I wouldn't base a show off it.
No.
So
Yeah. People are going to love this concept for this show.
So
every movie flop of all time, they got together afterwards and they're like, what? Like, no one cares about dogs and dolphins and like swimsuits. Like, I thought everyone was going to care about that. You know,
that's a really awesome, shitty concept for a movie. That's pretty cool.
Really bad.
That's
like
a really bad concept. Yeah.
That's even worse than Sharknado. So we do the audit.
And what do you determine what makes it a dog or a winner?
Okay. What we look at is what's the price of the product? What's the cost of goods? And then what is the current CPA? What's the cost per acquisition? Like how much it costs to acquire the customer? And then we also look at what's the average order value? Are people buying 1, 2, 3, 4 units? Is there a good upsell sequence there? And we also look at conversion rate. Like is it above 3 or 4%? Is the reorder rate good? Are people coming back and reordering? And so we look at all of that data. And it's actually, as long as someone has ran at least $5,000-$10,000 in the history of their company, we can get pretty dang accurate. I'll give you an example. Nerd Skincare, awesome person. She spent a year.
I own about 9 different skincare lines.
It's a good industry, isn't it?
Yeah, please don't plug my competitors. I'm just kidding.
I won't say who it is. I haven't said who it is, right? No, I haven't. So
I haven't heard Nerd Skincare. I'm going to Google them.
Oh crap, I did say it.
I don't care one bit.
So anyways, they had done $20,000 in sales.
In what period?
In a year. Gives us the rest of the budget and says, save this ship. $4 million in 6 months. And it's insane to think that you can make something successful, but there was just enough data there and skincare is just bomb. Like skincare is awesome.
When you said cost of goods sold and price point and average CPA, I was like, ooh, I want to get you into Luxalore. Because it's just fucking disgusting. If you're talking like literally after this phone call, I will just screen share with you for 8 seconds and show you like just my marketplace spend. Not even not even video ads. And my CPA is probably $17. My retail average price point, not cart value, price point per unit per item is $59.99, and I'm not going to tell you my cost, but if you know skincare,
I know your cost. That's insane. You know what's funny? I actually think, Josh, we have the exact same core business.
I think you are more talented than I am at the creative piece.
No, you have figured out what we figured out, but you're doing it with products you own, and we've mostly done it for other people. And that is a different, that's like in my, I mean, we're doing it now, right? We're launching our own stuff now.
Which by the way, I saved my criticism before the podcast started. I don't think that you've given enough, in my very humble opinion, and I'm only saying it because I love you. You have, I can tell. And when I know right now, you have not put enough developmental creative energy into options into JVing.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
If you're ever good at something, there's different levels of participation. There's the 100% scale of 100% protection and 0% upside. Where you have no ownership, you're 100% fee-based. It's like this is the cost of the services, and you are a client services vendor, service provider to someone that owns the brand. In my mind, I have never in my life experienced explosive motherfucking synergy from somebody operating on this model. I've experienced competence. I've never seen magic.
You're 100% right, and you want to know why? I just now realized why I've underutilized it. You know what it is?
I'm interested.
It's a fear of partnership. That's what it is.
Okay.
That's what it is. I just now, because, dude, I cannot tell you how many people have said, you're an idiot. Like, you're sitting on a gold mine if you just JV more stuff. And now we are. Like, we're doing it. But we should have done it 2 years ago.
Hey, you know what? I don't like the word should. You choose to or you choose not to, and you chose to or you chose not to, and you had your reasons.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins said, I was 16. I sat in a Tony Robbins seminar. It changed my fucking life. Him saying people go through life shooting all over themselves. And I don't know why that just clicked so hard for me. I don't like hearing you should, because everything you're doing is in preparation for the next thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you weren't doing it. We just don't necessarily know what that reason is yet. So you did it the exact way you were supposed to fucking do it. But I like that you're bringing it to light and being really honest with yourself, going, you know what, you're
right,
Kevin, and this is why. But don't add the layer of fucking like resentment bullshit to it, because like,
yeah, right. But it is good for me to know though right now why I didn't, you know, could or should have, just didn't. But why didn't I? And I think it's because it's the reason I got partners in the first place. When I started this agency, I had partners because I feared the unknown and I needed people to lean on. They didn't do much, and we ended up separating a year after starting.
I know the feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They didn't do anything, but I don't discount what they did, because we talked. We talked for half an hour to an hour a day. They didn't do anything, but they were there. And sometimes that's all you need. And
it's also an emotional security blanket.
It's an emotional security blanket. And the second I learned I didn't need a partner to be successful,
welcome
it was
to
very
your sovereign.
Empowering and broke free. But then I stuck with that assumption too long. And what I've done is I've given equity / sold equity to my guys. So my guys own a part of Chamber now. And it was a year in the making. It's like, we're family. Like if I die right now, I know for a fact, like Stefan, my head of production, is going to like take care of my family for a year or two, you know? And that partnership.
At 24 months, they're cut off.
Yeah, 24 months. It's like life insurance. Nice money.
Yeah.
But then it was fear of supply chain, developing products. And in my mind, believing I'm not good at developing products. Just like 2 years ago, I said, I'm not funny and I'm not a good writer. So that's not true, right? And now I'm realizing the supply and packaging thing, it's not as hard as I thought it was. So it's just these progression layers. And packaging, it's not that hard.
It's not as hard as you thought it was.
So yeah, I mean, so this is a breakthrough right now. Like, I appreciate like you validating, like, I mean, we've talked to our team, and in 3 or 4 years we're hoping there's only a couple clients and we've got 10 LLCs.
Or better yet, you stay diversified and you continue to bring clients on.
Yep.
And they do their piece. You do not need to do the packaging. You don't need to do the branding. You need to do the delivery of it.
And that's what we're doing.
And you plug a fulfillment partner in, you plug a manufacturing guy, you let them own the brand. And you go, I'm going to take this fucking Ferrari that you have parked in the garage with a tarp over it. Yep. And I'm going to drive that motherfucker with topless girls around the most crowded fucking streets in New York City with a road blocked off for just me to do donuts in. Because I don't know what, that Ferrari deserves that degree of attention, and I'm going to show the world why. And you fucking do that and you deliver, because I don't fucking suck dick, dude. You have disgusting talent, or you or your people. I don't know exactly who does what. The work you produce is fucking nasty good, and it deserves a piece of what the fuck you're doing. So stop being a little bitch on your fees. And not demand, just say, this is what we do and this is how we do it. You fund the media. I fund the packaging of the marketing piece. And I want 35%. Do you have any idea how many fucking companies you will own 35% of?
Yeah, dude.
You and I were texting last week and I told you that I just acquired another company. It's not public yet, so I'm not going to say the name. I would be willing to give you that deal on that line if you had the ability and you had the desire and you had whatever to take it seriously, and you go and you do the, is this a dog? Is this a winner? And whatever, because honestly, I'm doing the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I'm still exploring, okay, what VSL did they use here? What are they, what platform did they use to drive? Like, how is their retargeting set up with their email blast? How is their audience segmented? It would be really fun to do that together, because once we're done with it, I'm going to be like, yo, this is what I can do like a motherfucking rock star. But I can tell you at the end of it, regardless of what we decide, your piece, without a doubt, I'm positive, because I've seen what you do and I know what I can do with a fucking huge budget. You will do better than I will do.
Yep.
So if I look at it and I like it, which I bought the company, obviously I did. If you look at it, you like it and you want it, I will give you a piece to do your thing. And let's just fucking test it.
Let's do it. Do we really just discuss an acquisition live on a podcast? Do you realize how much value is in this conversation right now for anyone listening?
I just talk shit and people seem to like it.
No, but think about how often does this conversation we just had take place in a public forum where people can learn and listen and learn from it? Gary Vee's not going on a podcast doing a live discussion about partnering and JV. Like, guys, everyone that's listening to this right now,
they just watched the birth of it.
This right here is how like millionaires are made. This is how it happens. Like, when you're driving down the road and you see someone in the $1 million house and they're actually like cool people and they didn't get rich by shifting decks on the Titanic at some finance firm. Like, they're actually making real businesses and selling real stuff and providing real jobs. This discussion is what that is.
I feel warm and fuzzy. I got news for you. If you're in the honeymoon phase and every single fucking cell in your body isn't screaming, fuck yeah, don't even take them on as a client if they're paying you. But if your juices start screaming and you're having to be like, we could do this, we could do this, and you're having to control your creative enthusiasm,
then it's wrong.
Right.
You know what's crazy? We probably work with 5% of the companies that reach out to us. Okay. And it's premium and that's it. Like, there's no other, like, are you going big with this thing? Are we going balls to the wall?
Like 4.5 inches of fury, I'd say.
Like, it's not 8 inches. Like, we're not even talking. But it doesn't matter how big a company is. It matters, like, how good is the market? How good is the outcome? How sellable is it? And how aggressive, how big are the balls?
How much fight is in the dog?
Exactly. Like, this campaign we just launched 2 weeks ago, it's already done $300,000 in 2 weeks. It's like a brand new thing. It's already ROI positive. And I'm not even counting all the tertiary sales from retail.
You're not talking about the overall sales lift or searchability. You're talking about like direct ROI track.
Pixel. Yeah. Like 60% represented pixel directly attributable. And these guys understand it. First of all, like, their education level is where it needs to be. And they just have balls. Like, well, they have the cash flow. It's pretty big to put your balls on the table when you've got a lot of cash in the bank, you know? But that's why it's crushing it, is like, the faith is there, the scrutiny and the trepidation is there, but...
Well, good. Dude, if you're being completely unchecked and unscrutinized, they should be hiring a top 5 fucking Fortune 500 bullshit marketing firm.
Yes.
If someone is not in the trenches sniffing your shit and being like, I don't know, what about this? And what about this?
Yes, yes.
They don't care enough about their brand and the marketing efforts for you to want them as a client. It is a pain in the ass to have to handhold them more. But if they didn't give that much of a fuck, they wouldn't be the type of fucking client you want anyway.
Exactly. And it's the same too. Like, if I'm a client and someone that I'm hiring to work with isn't fully immersed in the product and fully genuinely passionate and caring about it, if I can even sniff to a certain degree that they're just trying to coast, then that's out. I'm out.
In my orientation video, straight the fuck up, which I learned from Tim Ferriss, by the way, is instead of doing training now, I do all of my training in video. I record training every process so that I show that video in a sequence of other videos so that by the time somebody starts doing anything, they know how to do everything and access that piece in case they forget. That's not in a fucking standard operating procedure manual that I also have that I've never read, which is literally just a transcription of the videos that I've made. In my first video they watch is, if you are here to do anything besides eat, sleep, breathe, and fuck to Rev Labs, to have nightmares and fantasies about the mission of upward movement and enhancing the lives of you personally, and as a result, and a butterfly effect, your immediate circle, and then your followers, and then the fucking planet, because elevated consciousness is contagious. Shake hands. I will pay you for the first 8 minutes of this first day because it should be the first fucking thing you're doing. God fucking bless you. Get the fuck out. That's me talking like that.
And then you reward.
Oh my God, yes. Like, dude, you want to talk about a motherfucking family? This little asshole back here, Wave Kevin, he's 19 years old. I've had him for, he's mouthing, I love you. He came on board with me when he was a fat 15-year-old kid and wrote me a really nice letter. And he just told me yesterday the best fucking decision and best moment ever in his life directionally was when he mustered up the courage to hit submit in the Rev Labs brand ambassador portal. Because we've nurtured and fostered and cultivated the traits that are not preached. They are exercised in every member of the Rev Labs family that he has communicated with. So when it was time for him to go to college and he didn't want to do it and wanted a life direction and just wanted to work for Rev Labs, he's like, do I need a college degree? I'm like, oh, you need way more than a college degree. You need so much more than a piece of paper. And also, I don't give a fuck about a piece of paper. If you want to get worked to death and earn the disgusting income that you're capable of making, like any other human being and any other A player that plays for my and our team together, then book a fucking flight out here. And he's like, where would I live? You can fucking sleep on my couch. You can sleep on the floor in the office, or you can figure it the fuck out. But the door is open. Book a flight. He's like, wait, seriously? And I'm like, hey, Kevin, shut the fuck up.
Deposit the check.
Exactly right. Go talk to your parents. Here is my credit card number. You can sleep at my house in one of my bedrooms until I decide or you decide that this is not a good fit. And I will expose you to more in the first month than you will be exposed to in 4 years of college. And you will figure out where you are valuable. That's what family does. So when you're saying you incentivize and you give pieces to your people, God fucking bless you, because that's not what creates synergy. That's what creates unity. There's no like end. There's no like line, but where you end and like someone else's success begins. There's no line between like your okayness and the company's okayness. It's a piece of you because you're creating it with your other co-creators. And that's a fucking...
Life is short. Like, why are you going to go work with people that you don't care about? Like, why would I go spend 30% of my lifetime around people I haven't specifically and like purposely chosen to spend time around?
I could give you about 500,000 reasons, most of which are self-limiting beliefs like, I need partners, or I am not good at product sourcing, or whatever the fuck stories people tell themselves that hold them back from being infinitely more capable than they are.
The other insight is refusing hypocrisy. I hated certain things about corporate culture and the waste and the pointlessness of it. And so I cannot reciprocate that in my own business. And I cannot allow or enable someone to be a lifer and collect a check with no future, to just serve a purpose for me, to make me money, to just serve me a purpose. That is a dead, it's wrong. Yeah, if someone has limiting abilities and they're just not going to get past a certain point, well, then that's how it is, right? But that's, as a business owner, like, you can't give into that hypocrisy of like, these people all do stuff for me. No, these people are here because they do stuff for themselves and they get rewarded and compensated for it. And I'm not just giving them just enough so that they'll stick around. I'm giving them actual ownership actual, and not everyone's ready for ownership. Not everyone deserves it, but everyone has to have that. Like
there's, if someone, listen, there's different levels of ownership.
Yeah.
So if you sweep the goddamn floor, if you change the memory card in my goddamn camera before I speak on stage and I want to make sure that it doesn't record 60% of it, it gets 100% of it.
Yep.
You own that. That is your recording. That is your work product. That is a piece of you that is manifesting into the physical reality that other people are going to see and touch and interface with. I'm not paying you to do a job.
Yep.
You are doing a job because you care about the contribution of that job to whatever the fuck it is. And you own that job. That's yours.
Yep.
Company ownership or percentage of whatever is kind of a different semantic thing. Ownership is a feeling. It's a responsibility level. It's a connective, energetic contribution.
There's so many ways. There's so many ways to grant ownership. It's, hey, if this particular project does well, you're going to get this bonus. If we hit this certain net margin, this is what you're going to get. There's so many levels of ownership. And if all you're offering your people is here's a secure, repetitive, dependable check every 2 weeks, unless they're like a contractor and they're not family, or they're literally like doing something so menial that they're not even, you know what I mean? But if they're a talented contributing person, like there's gotta be something else. Even if it's a surprise and delight, like even if all the agreement is a check every 2 weeks that's secure and stable, but you still have to surprise and delight, you know, like you got a reward. And
I don't know. I think also you're talking to like my core group right now, but there's also a degree of infrastructure necessary. I don't know. We run different size organizations. I think the average human in the average cog or widget within your system of production, each unit of production probably produces a lot more per capita than mine does. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So every person has ownership in the sense that they own what their individualized contribution contributes to a bigger thing and knows what the fuck the purpose is of the mission of the company.
Yep.
And to elevate the fucking consciousness and state and empowerment level and physical health of humanity, right? So they know why putting tape on the box straight improves the world. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that's really the way that I fucking do it. That's the way I see it and the way I feel it is how you do anything is how you do everything in your life to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Regard to the incentivization, if that's even a word, incentivizing, I guess, or the ownership of the company, I don't relate with you 100% ubiquitously across all things. That's not exactly how I do it so much as what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Like a rising tide raises all ships. There's definitely surprises and delights, no question.
There's different models too. Like,
yeah, there's like Victoria's Secret, Playboy, you know, I agree.
There's some models where like some business models, you just cannot do what I'm talking about.
Oh, business models. Got it. Okay.
Like we can do this because we're a service agency. And like, I'll be honest, like if you took the median or mean salary of my team, it's over 80 grand of everyone on our team, but we're not Amazon. We don't have like people scrubbing the floors. And do you know what I'm saying? So this conversation, I don't think it applies in every single situation. I think it applies to like premium style businesses that, because dude, there are some freaking idiots out there who need a job, but they do not deserve anything more. It's just true.
Which is just why I was saying, let's not paint with an overly broad stroke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't apply this conversation to everything and everybody. You just cannot.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do. But for the record, I agree with you.
That sounds like a lot of conversations I have with my wife.
I
don't tell me Don't tell me what I got to do, woman. I do agree with you, though. I am actually going to go do that.
But I'm not going to stop yelling because that would mean that I lost the argument.
Dude, it's so funny. I try and like push back and run the ranch with my wife all the time. I like push back and fight, but I always end up doing like what she wants because I love her, you know. But I can't let it be like an automatic like.
Yeah. Hey. No. Of course not. You gotta like. She's like, okay, honey, did you argue with me enough to know that you still respect yourself and you wear the pants and blah, blah, blah? Yes,
and you're still going to go do it anyways.
Okay, cool. Now go take out the fucking trash and say thank you. I'm going to edit this out so you still hold the respect. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that makes you more lovable or makes you kind of like a noodle?
I don't know, dude. Do you know about my past with me and my wife? A viral
no.
video?
No, so, hang on. Stop. I'm pausing you. Because before
this
that,
is public. This is okay. This is public.
Hang on. No. But I'm like proverbially pausing you.
Yeah.
Once you decide somebody is a winner in your company, they're not a dog, right?
Yep.
They're a prize pony. They're a winner. What happens from there? And then I am so getting back to you and your wife because I am interested. But we did a lot of deviation, and I want to understand your process and your cycle from start to finish because I'm just in the beginning of it, and I want to hear how your business continues to progress.
We talk revenue. We talk cash flow. We talk at what level are we going to scale this thing? If it's at a level where it's worth our time, which has increasingly over the years been a larger and larger level of scale, if they want to go from $5,000 a month of sales to $10,000 a month, then sorry, right? But if they want to go to $100 a month to $500 a month, okay, let's talk. At that point, we figured out how scalable this thing is. And if it is scalable, we do a high level concept. We say, hey, this is directionally what we can do with the message, with the brands, with the sale. And here's the gimmick. Here's the thing that like people are going to remember, the concept. If that's good, right, before we put.
Now, when you say gimmick, just for the laymans that are not marketers, because that has a negative connotation, you mean what's the hook? What is the hook? What's the catch? What's the like, the playful angle.
This is, hey, for your product, put two huge blenders down and someone's going to open the video and wonder what's going on and why they're there. And then they're going to watch all the way to the end to actually see them be used. That's the gimmick. That's the concept. Everything else around that is just details. But there has to be, for someone to believe that you understand their brand, there has to be some anchor of like, this is what we're building this thing around. Once that happens, we sign the scope, we get paid, and we start working. And at that point, we write the script, and that has tons of revisions. Then we write the storyboard, and then we do pre-production.
Hang on, you write the script before the storyboard?
Yes, because the storyboard is just the visualization of what the shots are going to look like.
The blocks of like, we communicate this part with this happening. Yeah. We communicate this part with this happening. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So then once that happens, we go into pre-production.
God, I fucking wish my people could hear you right now. I'm going to make it mandatory that they have to listen to this podcast, and I'm going to make them do the notes and the highlights and the whatever, because I want you to come in and speak to my humans, and in return, I will do the same for your group of 8 or 12 or 18, 20.
Let's do it. Teach us.
People will leave that discussion with their motherfucking soul on fire.
Let's do it.
I think you could teach my people a lot about process and why, dude, each part of the process is where it is.
Set in stone. I'm coming to San Diego on vacation. I'm bringing my wife and we're going to hang.
I'm babysitting a house that, okay, I have 14 bedrooms a mile from my house, with like 4 water slides in the backyard, and I have my brother living there and my 18-year-old sister as soon as she gets back from Israel. You can have the fucking whole house, or you can stay with me, and I have got a couple of extra rooms in my house too.
Yeah, that's a pretty Jewish thing to do, actually, go to Israel.
It is. Yeah, she actually went. Yeah. She actually is going to make Aliyah, which I find hilarious. Making Aliyah is what they call
the birthright. Is that getting birthright?
She actually didn't go on birthright.
Oh,
but Aliyah, anybody can make Aliyah, which is the citizenship process based on the concept of a Jewish person. I quoted Jewish person. I didn't mean to do that. A Jewish person's birthright. They have a right by birth to be a citizen of Israel if they're Jewish, is what the concept is. But her name is actually Aliyah.
Whoa, cool.
So she's, and I actually did basic training in the Israeli army when I was 17 and 18, and thought that that was going to be my path. I applied to one college, not wanting to go. Different story for a different time.
The best military in the world, man.
Touche. Imagine fucking surviving basic training, speaking like about 50 words of Hebrew.
You do not freaking mess with Israel. They will.
Actually, a lot of people mess with Israel, but somehow they're still existing.
That's where the should word comes into play. You really should not. They survived in a freaking hellstorm.
Contentious territory. Yeah, exactly.
You do not throw rocks in the bee's nest because they will F you up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect. It's cool too. This is a sidebar really quick, but my people, like Mormons, are super heavy into Old Testament. Heavier than
you guys are
pretty
supporters.
Jewish dude, in some ways.
Yeah, no, you really
philosophically.
Yeah, by like you unanimously, they are massive supporters. And you know what else
massive
is cool about
supporters?
You know what else is cool about Mormons? They're generally Republicans.
Yeah, some. Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah.
Which is funny because
it's a good thing, but
they're, well, I'm just saying it's like
actually,
a little bit,
a lot are libertarians too.
Because you would expect by their gentle and patient nature, let's generalize like fucking crazy here, but I'm just saying, like if you met a Mormon, you wouldn't think that they were generally Republican because of the way they conduct themselves, but generally they vote directionally that way.
Behaviorally, super communal. And it's same, dude, Jews are the same. There's a communal, a lot of communes in Israel.
Yeah,
have you heard
called?
About those?
They're called kibbutzes. I lived on one kibbutzes. For 6 months.
Dude, that's like how humans should live. And unfortunately, doesn't work for most humans. And so you have to be Republican in order to not have someone F everything up that's over you.
It didn't work for me. I liked the military more than I liked the kibbutz. I couldn't do the commune thing. You know, I was like the wheat guy. And then I was like the milk guy. And then I was like the, you know, loading guy. And then I was like going to town and sell things guy. And like, no matter what I was doing, I was just like, if I produce more and then I'm coming in and I still just eat exactly what my portion is, I'm like, why do I want to produce more? And I felt the feeling of the lack of incentivization.
Yeah. But there's a mix. There's a mix. That's really
no
cool.
No argument. Dude, there's definitely value to it. The spirit of it is beautiful.
The spirit of it is dope. Yeah.
I think it also crushes forward progress. And do you see these arrows? They stand for relentless motherfucking upward movement, progress, and development. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
There's a beauty to it.
It's service and charity by choice. And that cannot be structured. It just has to be in the root of a person's.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You can't force giving. You can't force charity. It just doesn't. It ruins the value and the motivation to do so.
Yeah. You guys heard it here first. Travis Chambers is a communist.
Dude, theoretically, like, kind of am, but
you know what?
Practically, not at all.
Yeah, I think you mean pragmatically, but yeah.
Yeah.
Corrected your grammar on the air.
Dude, you made a grammar mistake earlier, and I didn't correct you. So
I've made like four, and then it's like it takes like Liz gets on me, and she's like, "Don't correct yourself. Just keep speaking. No one gives a fuck." And I'm like, "If I don't call her out." I'm like, dude, if I don't call it out, it bugs me for the, like, I swear to God to you, for like a minute and a half after like misusing a word, I'm like sitting there like I have that like internal like consternation, which is so retarded. But I'm a man of the right words, and I love when people hit the nail on the head. And when I'm sitting there like fucking misusing the English language that is can be used so beautifully, I'm like, you're better than that motherfucker. I feel like one of those guys that wants to like whip himself with the middle-aged spike thing, you know, to like sin of like, you know, misusing the word practical. Anyway, I digress. You put them through the storyboarding.
We get to pre-production, and what we do that's really unique is we plan for A/B testing at the creative level. Okay, so everyone A/B tests ads and targeting. We do it from the script level. So once we have a script, right, maybe it's 4 or 5 pages long, we'll write 8, 9, 10 paragraphs of hey, this is a concern that we may have missed that may come up. And then we create tons of remarketing videos too. So we make every single possible assumption and we shoot that so that we don't get to a point where we're cutting this video and the wrong direction's been taken or the wrong thing's been said or the right thing's been left out. And I can't tell you, every single time this happens,
Before you tell me, how many permutations of different sequencing, what is the absolute maximum amount of combinations of sequences or versions that could occur?
We don't let it get too crazy. What we do is we're going to make this cut that we think with our experiences can be the best. Uh-huh. And then we look for sentiment. Is the relevance score going down? Like, what is the sentiment? What are the peaks and valleys of watch rate? What's the test conversion happening? And then we make other assumptions. So I don't cut like 30 videos and test them all because that's just too expensive. But we make an assumption, we get proved wrong, and we swap in and out. We move stuff around, try again. So by the time we launch, we are 90% sure that this is the absolute most highest converting combination of creative that anyone, anywhere, with any skill level could have made. And then we launch, and we launch with an ad spend. It's usually Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, search. Sometimes it's Amazon DSP.
I'm sorry, Amazon what?
Amazon DSP. So you can run ads with Amazon that are not on Amazon.com.
Yep.
It's using Amazon data offline.
Yep. So, and you know what's cool about that? It's the easiest way to track marketplace conversions running from off platform to on platform.
Yeah.
Amazon is real protective of their customer data. And that's, I really like being able to get like display real estate outside pulling in. Because from Amazon to Amazon, you're competing with the same fucks. You're competing with the same fucks. Your BSRs skyrocket when you give Amazon the gift of paying them to pull outside humans onto their website to buy your product that you're paying them a percentage of. I mean, it's a very monopoly-ridden model by Amazon. But when you can fucking make Amazon happy, they reward the living shit out of you.
Yep.
Oh, that reminds me. I have 5 out of the top 7 Tribulus offers right now in Amazon. And I have out of thermogenic fat burners and carb blockers. I don't know if I should be saying this. I'll say it and then I'll see if I'm allowed to be doing it. I own 17 out of the top 20 under different brands.
Dang.
When you pull it up and it's like compared to other whatevers. And it will give you like 6 options.
So you're Avis, Budget, Thrifty, Enterprise, but they're all you. That's awesome.
And I copy and paste the model and then share the highest converting keywords. And then I split it.
Yeah.
And then I will do a competitive deal where I will appear to be competing, but actually like giving way with one to the other until and I use one that is higher in BSR. If I own spots like 1, 3, and 7.
Yep.
And I parlay those 100. If I get 3 products in the top 10, 100% of the time, I will get to 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Because of the game you can play between those products.
I hope everyone listening realizes how huge of a hack that is. I've never heard that. And I probably haven't heard it because no one wants to share it because it's so valuable.
I'm the only guy that stands on stage. And my favorite conference that I go to, or that I speak at, I should say, is for mid-level brands. It's so funny. Listen to some of my past podcasts. I've talked about this exact conference, and you said between 2 million and...
2 to 100, or 2 to 50.
Yeah, 2 to 100. This conference is over 10 under 100. You have to be the brand.
What conference is it?
Add some? You know, there's no need to yell, sir. Yes, Advertisers Summit. Add some.
I need to go to that then.
Yeah.
That sounds like a booth.
It still has my videos from like me speaking, and you will see me sitting there in front of like well-funded, entrepreneurial, badass motherfuckers spilling my fucking secrets to the world, giving them away for motherfucking free. And the guy who I own the fulfillment center with was up in arms. He's like, "You're literally giving away the farm. What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, because you know what? In 9 months from now, I'll be playing a different fucking algorithmic game because the algorithm is changing every 4 to 8 months anyway. And by the time they get good at what I'm doing, I will be good at 4 things ahead of it, but I will have them in the game, which is going to improve them in life."
The opportunities and the credibility outweigh the catch up. I've been the same way. Like, I used to hide and seek and like protect a lot of stuff, but lately we just tell everyone everything because if we know something that's that advanced, like you said, you don't have to worry about it. Like the majority of these things, people couldn't even figure out how to do themselves. And by the time they do, you're 100 miles ahead.
And you want to know why I just offered on the spot to give you a piece of this brand new, shiny, beautiful, profitable, already branded, already formulated, already patented, already trademarked, already proprietarily owned, can't touch this ingredient if you're another company, already have BSRs on Amazon, already have the Shopify store set up, already have historical data, and I just gifted you the deal that I hypothetically made up for you and some other imaginary brand somewhere, is because I acknowledge talent when I see it. And while I, for personal reasons, very much want to learn each piece, for professional reasons, I am not delusional enough to presume the small-minded perspective that the majority of people do. This guy knows a secret. If this guy shares his secret, I will internalize it and take the secret and have the same success, which is not the way that it works.
JV is genius, because half of the stuff you just mentioned that you did, we don't do. And anything you do takes 10,000 hours to master. I genuinely believe that. So if I say right now I'm going to start sourcing my own products, I have to accept and embrace that it's going to be a full-time job the next 2 years for me to become one of the better people in the world at it. You cannot be delusional. Well, you have to be delusional as an entrepreneur to think you're actually going to pull it off. But the reality is it's going to take 10,000 hours. It just is. And so that's why it's so genius what you're saying is.
I try not to interrupt people when they're telling me that I'm a genius, but but fuck like delusional versus reality. It's simply inefficient. I would like to learn everything that you know out of curiosity purposes, and because I love learning and because I like being around high level, dare I say, greatness, even if it's in this big of a field. Or even if they do a lot of stuff and this part is truly immaculate, I love just being exposed to people that are winning in any way. Dude, you fucking showed me that goddamn ad. How many impressions did it get?
Which one?
From like, it was like 3 days ago, bro. I like hit you up fucking at like whatever time in the morning. Like
the Mr. Cool video is at, well, since I sent it to you, it's got another 2 million views. So it's at like 10 million now.
Okay. Okay. And how long has it been running?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And it's at 10 million views.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, and what, I don't even remember what I said, but I saw it and I was like, yeah, dude, motherfucker. Hell yeah. Like you're winning.
You could feel that it had the crap optimized out of it.
Oh yeah.
From a watchability, from a watching to the end, yes, yes, yes. From all these different points, you could just feel it and it feels different, right?
Yeah, and it really required a ton of intuition given those analytics to see how well it was optimized. Matt, motherfucker, that shit spoke for itself. But
so you're telling me social proof is currency, because that's a huge argument that we have internally all the time. How important is social proof?
What, infinitely less than it was 4 years ago, which is why I have
infinitely less important.
Which is why I've shifted my focus towards artificial intelligence and away from social media.
Interesting.
You want to have a conversation that'll blow your motherfucking mind? Let's share a screen for about 8 minutes. You know how many pay-per-click decisions I've made? Do you know how many pay-per-click decisions I've made with any sort of choosing any keyword or any bid adjustment on any platform in the past 8 months?
How many?
Like, even the question is like, how the fuck could you even count that high how many times you've adjusted?
So if you were doing it manually for how many brands I think you run and how much revenue I think you do manually,
over thousands. Yeah, like a week, right?
Yes.
Because you sit there and you tweak and you tweak.
Yes.
You know?
But it's actually
zero.
Because you're AI?
Not one decision. Not one adjustment made from my brain to my hand through my computer to my campaigns.
That's amazing.
85% of my Skype conversations are me not even reading them, because I've trained my bots to speak as me so well.
Wow. That's dope.
It's going to take social media that is very hot. And I swear to God to you, the Mormon one and the Jewish one,
who are the same.
Yep. if they are who, right? It will transform the face of marketing. I truly believe with all of my heart that we are on the brink of a shift as big, and this is a ridiculous statement, but we are going to timestamp me saying this, a shift that is as big of an impact on marketing pre-internet, post-internet. And we are on the precipice of a shift that is that monumentally different. And mark my words, in 3 years from now, I can't even do it justice, and I don't even want to like get into it on a podcast unless that was the basis of the podcast, because A, it's an unrecoverable tangent, and B, if my points
are not— Do that podcast, please send it to me.
I'll just fucking sit and tutor you and just show you every single fucking thing you need to know for free.
I need to hear that.
I'll just straight teach it to you, dude. Or I'll at least get you on the track hard enough that if you are like ambitious enough and you want to keep pulling that thread, I'll get you far enough down the line that you can unravel the sweater and build and sew it back into anything you want.
I love it.
Mark my words, in two years from now, the marketing, like looking backwards 24 months, we won't even recognize the way the world is.
Yeah.
I challenged it. I set up a bot and I set up a new product for it and for me when I felt like it had acquired enough data to be making right decisions. And I tested who could perform better. Because I was challenging the bot against me, I performed, and like, you know how what it's like when you like feel, you know the ad, you know the placement, you've done things in the similar vein, you like the way things turned out, right? That you know you're gonna at least hit it at blah percentage, you know? And then there's other times where you're like, this is a really important product. It's a really important situation. Like my da-da-da is like almost not there. So you're like this over your campaign and you're like really looking and monitoring and touching. I treated it like that on steroids. Like every bit I could give to the campaign, I did. And my average cost of sale, I smashed it. My average cost of sale was 16% on a fresh product. No branding assets anywhere, not even a website built for it, besides for the funnel and the marketplaces that I set up 2 days prior. You know what the bots was? Four.
Dang.
4%? Are you fucking kidding me? An ROI of 96% minus cost of goods sold.
It's crazy.
Or listing fees or taxes or whatever, right?
That's but just crazy.
Sheer spend to revenue.
That's insane.
And I just sat there and I'm like, I can literally replace myself. The pieces of my business that I do best are now obsolete.
That's insane.
On the first campaign, this was 7 months ago.
And that's what spends? What type of spends?
What do you mean what type of spends? Volume?
But is that bots? Is that Messenger? Like what medium?
It's not Messenger because I knew that the shit was coming down the pipe with Facebook. So I didn't.
Can you say what medium it is, or?
I will tell you what medium it is. I'll show you. Mm. But my biggest, most fun platform is Amazon.
Yeah.
Because when you have something that clicks, when you have something that clicks, no pun intended.
Amazon's real estate.
And look, like Travis, when you have something that is working and that's smashing, what happens when you turn off the campaigns?
Usually the algorithm punishes you for that.
I'm not talking about on Amazon. I'm talking about like if you're running through a funnel, like from YouTube to someone's website and you don't turn on retargeting campaigns and your campaign's doing amazing, amazing, amazing. And then you shut off all outbound efforts. What happens to your revenue?
Usually it'll like stabilize for like a little while, but then it takes a dive.
Yep. Okay. If you prove that you're a winner, that you're the hot girl at the bar, it's like Amazon.
It's real estate. Amazon is real estate. Amazon is owning Park Avenue in downtown Manhattan. And as long as you can protect your space,
it's not about being better. It's almost like protecting your space is right, but it's an understatement because it's not about beating someone. It's about beating the living fucking shit out of number two and number three and number four until they don't. Like it looks like a fucking pro team is playing against a middle schooler that's playing two men short. And if you can make Amazon's algorithmic decision making recognize that, you will hold that spot with no PPC, and if you can learn how to be so much better that you run up the score, which is here's a fucking huge gem. pick a random motherfucking obscure category.
Socks.
No. Pick a random obscure category for a very generalized thing. Take a Garcinia Cambogia, and instead of putting it into a weight loss supplement or all natural weight loss or Garcinia or, you know, sports nutrition.
Yeah.
Put it in alternative carb blockers for vegans. The amount of traffic is, I don't know, 1/80th.
But you can dominate.
And when you dominate so motherfucking hard until you own that spot where other people are, don't even try to compete because they'll just spend good money after bad trying to even affect your BSR, your bestseller ranking, then you use that ranking to parlay to rank in whatever the fuck category you want because that spot's now your bitch.
That's awesome. That's huge. Okay. I hope that's everyone realizes how like freaking upper level that stuff is.
Dude, listen, I'm a fucking social media guy, right? I have 100,000 followers. I'm like a medium looking dude. Like, I believe me, I worked living fucking shit out of like when the edge rank algorithm first came out on Facebook, I was spending $500,000 a week. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's a lie. I was probably spending $300,000 a week at my peak. And I had an influencer program of you know, 600 athletes. Right now I have an influencer program of 200 athletes. I'm not saying social media is dead. But I'm saying social proof.
Organic is dead. Yeah. It's pay to play. Like TV for the last 50 years, if you want to exist as a brand in the world, you pay for every single second that you exist on television. That is now how social is. Like your brand, yeah, you got a lot of followers, but all these algorithms are going to take that reach away from you.
That's
baller, dude. That's insane. That is... If you were running like 100 a month in ad spend, that would still be freaking crushing it. So the fact there's zero.
Hey, do you want to see what my spend was? I can pull it up right now. I guarantee you it won't be. I'll show you after. I just wanted to.
You said right?
The amount that I have done, meaning that 100%
of you've done for the ad spend. I understand. So that's a fully AI optimized. That's insane. That's amazing.
This is a test account. The one that I pitted against my
ability. Do you know why this JV thing may be so awesome? Is
because the JV guys are way cooler than Varsity. Amazon?
Hell yeah, they are, dude. C team's even cooler.
I don't know. The freshman guys don't have pubes yet. I don't know.
They have armpit hair, though.
Tell me.
There's just so many. Dude, there's so much complimentary puzzle pieces going on here. You're, like, pronged like this, and we're, like, pronged like this, and it's just...
That is like the gayest hand gesture I have seen. I hope you have a really hot woman that works for you that can do that gesture for me.
Your scissors this way, and our scissors this way.
Uh-huh.
It's just like...
Dude, it's like you're pronged like this. No, you're, like, pronged like this, and, like, I'm pronged like this.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that we can go from sophisticated to like juvenile as shit.
We're not Amazon guys. Like we do our thing. We measure lift on Amazon because of our efforts, but we're not Amazon guys.
Homeboy, I know what the fuck you do and don't do. Why the fuck do you think I texted you?
Dude, do you want me to finish up the process?
I do want you to finish up the process. Yeah. That'd be awesome, actually. I know you said it antagonistically, but I appreciate that course.
We shoot all these variations. No, I said it purely for the sake of if I don't get home in the next 15 minutes and start helping prep my house to sale, it's going to be one of those. I'm going to sleep on the couch. I've actually never slept on the couch in my marriage.
I've slept on the floor just because sometimes I get weird and ADD, but not because there's been issues. But you know what? You're buying her a new house, homeboy. And you're birthing a deal right now that's going to pay for whatever the fuck on the planet she wants. How about a replacement diamond for the one that she lost?
Hey, sidebar. Do you do real estate or do you not bother with it?
I do real estate. I do a lot of real estate.
Too personal?
It's not too personal. You just hit the nail on the head because I...
So everyone I know makes X amount here on their business and they, over 50 years, they make this amount on property. So I bought two homes last week and I'm like starting that because you're 33 and I think you are way ahead of where I am when you were 30 my age. 32. And so like, I'm just entering this world now, but it's exciting world. Dude, so we shoot the video, we shoot all these variations, and then we launched with ad spend. And then there's a billion different strategies on how do you launch and where, you know, view campaign versus conversion campaign versus post engagement, how necessary is social proof.
Specific question real quick. When and why would you ever do a view campaign versus a conversion or a click campaign?
If your audience is so mainstream that reach is more important than targeting.
Fuck you with your ROI bullshit. So you are still a brand. That's brand advertising.
No, it's different. Every
bro, do you think you can get me some good deals on buying billboards on the side of the freeway? I hear that gives a lot of impressions. I heard there's an ROI in that. It's not measurable, but I'm sure it's there.
Dude, the magic is just knowing which does which, because it's different every product and it's different every month. A post engagement campaign will be firing higher than a trained pixel with like $1 million behind it. And then it will just tank. And it's just like knowing, it's just knowing those levers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I'd be very interested for you to show me like an analytics pattern of when that is the case. And like when the chart went like, dude, that.
That's what's crazy is there's no rhyme or reason to it. That's what's really freaky. I mean, relevance score on Facebook has a big play.
Dude, but you know what? Even relevance score, I'm like, okay, let me collect the, you know, 1.3 million people who have purchased Enamor pre-workout for her from Rev Labs over the course of the last however long that it's been a thing. And then I run an ad saying it's a testimonial of a fucking chick being like, I thought Enamor was sick, and throws it over her fucking shoulder and was like, Enamor PM. Wait, actually, I still do like Enamor. That's why I have another one here, but I got it for free from purchasing this. So if you've liked Enamor and we're targeting all the people that have gone 3 stars and above, you can get one for free by purchasing this, which honestly is more exciting because it's new or whatever the fuck, like bullshit thing, right? Forget how good the ad has performed or doesn't perform. The relevant score is a 3, you know? And I'm like, this is the fucking people who said they were interested to know when there is a deal on Enamor after having purchased Enamor and rated it 3 stars or above.
Like, so it's creative. They just don't like the girl.
Yeah, I know. I'm speaking to the fact that like that wasn't a question of like what's wrong with my campaign. That was a thing.
Let me just like take your let me just take everything that you share and just stomp on it.
Oh, you've done quite the opposite. But no, this was me sharing a non-success of mine that like I'm speaking to the testament of like the pay per click gods can choose to smile on you or they can choose to not. But like if with what I was saying, like with the approach with that campaign, you would think the last thing you have to worry about is your relevance score. You know what I mean? Because it's a highly relevant thing you're doing with highly relevant headlines to a very segmented audience of people who have like done that before and have opted into, I want to hear more about Enamor. Do you know what I mean? Where like, fuck like the type of campaign or how you're approaching it or how good your creative or your copy is. I'm just the relevance you wouldn't think would be the issue. And sometimes just like,
it's, you know, weird.
You didn't do the rain dance. So your shit just doesn't fucking serve. You know,
we've had these smallest things. Like we had a video where it talked about like how long the product works and it was a 3-second clip. And for some reason it just freaking triggered people.
Exploded.
It was crushing it, converting like crazy. And the second that seed of negative sentiment got planted, the relevant score plummeted and the algorithm just destroyed that ad.
Hang on, what was the seed of negative sentiment? What do you mean? Somebody's like, this is bullshit, or like comment something bad, or like
that's okay. Too much of this product for this case. Yeah. It was literally a 3-second clip. We take that out and relaunch, crushing it. Good relevance store. It's just like, and then we've had low relevance campaigns that have a lot of negative sentiment, but they sell like crazy. Despite the algorithm.
I fucking love, dude. I will tell you, I'll show you some of my campaigns.
The problem with that though is you do it too much and it can affect your status.
I know. And it's also not good for the brand. It's really great for the cheap clicks, yes. cheap impressions, low CPA. Believe me, dude, I've played the game hard for a while.
Yeah, I'm a believer in let's make a little bit less and let's protect the brand. And that's what you see with our videos. Like, yeah, I can get some freaking weirdo to do something crazy and run around naked. But it's like, over time, you're not going to be.
I do that anyway. I would just rather you turn on the camera for it.
Just do it with your buddies and in private. Just don't.
I don't know. That's what your personal Facebook's for, I guess, right?
Yeah. By the way, do you have a business Facebook profile or do you mix with your personal?
I have two business profiles and a personal.
Yeah, I'm about to launch a business one because I'm holding myself back because I don't want to be a douche constantly promoting myself to my friends and family.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll smash your Facebook page if you do my LinkedIn.
Is a Facebook page even a thing? What? I thought pages were dead.
You do a public figure page and then you have a personal, but anytime you're posting, you post to your public figure page that people can follow instead of be friends with.
Interesting.
Pages are not even close to dead. Not at all.
Interesting.
You're thinking of pages as like a hobby page. You know what I mean?
So you leverage your personal profile to juice the page, and then the page gets relevant in the algorithm and rewarded as an actual like valuable thing that Facebook allows reach for.
Everything you said is accurate, but it's also incomplete. I also have like, I don't know, like fucking 30.
You're way heavier on groups though, right?
Groups are way more beneficial, but if you make a Travis Chambers group, people aren't going to dig it.
They don't care.
So you want to look like a fucking gangster. You want to be able to like say something. And also when you're running pay-per-click ads, you can't fucking do it from a personal page. You can do that from a public figure page, which is really fucking nice when you're like trying to run. Oh, look who just walked in. Have you ever met this one? I think you did, right?
What's up? How goes it?
He says, what's up?
Hi, dude.
Hey, scope our new sports
book. I went falsetto and everything.
He said he went falsetto and everything. Sit up so you can see the thing. Yeah, look. New sports bras just came in today.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yep.
All right. That's enough, Liz. Stop hogging the spotlight. She's such a ham.
Nice to see you.
She says she thinks you're hot.
What the?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. He can hear you. You just can't hear him.
You know what she said? She's like, he is super hot for being a full six. He is like a smoking six.
But you know what? The facial hair gives you 3 points and your intelligence gives you another 8.
Dude, I have to shave it because I get no action with facial hair. So
really? I like it. I think I like the way you look.
Dude, and I have a baby face, so it like makes me not look 12. What's up?
It makes you look distinguished. I swear to God.
Dude, I wish I could keep it, but I prefer action to distinguished.
Hashtag hella homo.
I'd rather look like a 12-year-old boy and get action. So
I feel you.
Yeah.
Again, no homo. Two things. Number one, speaking of getting play, I want you to go home and get play from your wife. And even though you're buying her a new house, you're running late. So I'm going to let you go. I very much fucking appreciate your time. You're a gangster, and I've appreciated getting my consciousness expanded simply by watching your work product, which is a compliment I've given to exactly 0 people that I can remember in my life.
Appreciate it. And not to like compliment battle here, but I don't know many people that run a business and are also the ones that understand how the bread is baked. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
They usually have like a couple smart people or 4 or 5 smart people. It's very rare for the founder to be the one that actually like figured it out.
I'm very, yeah. And you know what? I think that is not to my detriment because it's fucking working for me, but I am endeavoring. And part of the reason I'm so eager to team up with like incredible talent that where we are invested in the same thing is because I'm endeavoring egregiously to deviate from me being the talent.
Yeah.
And right now I am very, very, very much the too much of the magic of what is happening. And don't get me wrong, dude. Like my attorneys are better than me at law. Straight up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Reebok Worldwide girl, like ran fucking Youngevity. Like she smokes me in logistics. Liz, you want to put me in I taught her neurotically as fuck. That would be a funny story for her to tell on a podcast of when I taught her QuickBooks. I was a fucking Nazi standing over her shoulder. Like, that was the last part of anything I gave up, was doing any accounting. No one could touch numbers. No one could cut checks. And now, dude, look, the fuck out of here. That's evil. That's fucking evil.
Dude, you really grew into your nose, like, really well. Like, it really? Looks really good now. Yeah.
Really, dude? I don't
it's
know.
It's proportional. But when you were growing up, it was not proportional.
I appreciate that.
And I can say that because I had to grow into my nose, bro.
I played very, very competitive hockey growing up and broke my nose like 3 or 4 times. But actually, weirdly enough, I also grew up fighting, right? And broke my nose 3 times in hockey and never once fighting.
Mm.
But yeah, I also was a really competitive like rollerblader and skateboarder and snowboarder and broke my nose once skating as well. So
good old fruit booting.
I think the longer I go away from that, my last like bad nose injury, I was probably 17 years old. It might be normalizing sort of, but like I have a nostril that I can't breathe out of literally. Like,
oh, yeah. Me too. Air. You have a good nose, dude. Don't doubt that. Like, coming from a guy with a schnoz, like I can like parachute if I have to fall out of an airplane. But no, seriously though, man, replicating ourselves into people that are like dynamic hybrids, that has been like my secret. Like, it slowed down my growth, but that is allowing me to now scale so much faster. Like, I have four guys that they are me. My goal for a year was, this guy is going to be me. I'm going to replicate myself. And I had people tell me like, dude, don't do that. Do not do that, because they'll go off on their own and say, screw you.
I hear that.
No, yep. If you do it the right way and you reward and they are like tied in with you. And that's like, dude, I don't have peons. You know, I don't have, there are no peons. There are only hybrid versions of myself.
I was showing you my peon. That's Bailey. She's an alien.
Bailey. Yeah, like, sure, there can be a peon that's like shipping and putting boxes together, but when you're talking about like growing your business, hybrids. All right, man.
What happened?
The final story here is, then we run ads and we scale, and then we look at attribution and ROI, which is a lengthy conversation of how do you measure. Like, YouTube ROI could be upside down, but by the time you factor in search, it could be a 5-6x. So that's a whole nother discussion, but that is it. That's the process, dude. We got through it, the whole thing.
You ever have campaigns that you like brutally fail at?
Yes. We have had two big ones that were, one was an inbox mattress company, and it was impossible to compete. By the time we started and launched, there were 10 boxed mattress companies, and then there were 100, and they were all bidding on the same inventory that is limited. Impossible. And then we had, actually, I'll be honest, that is the only campaign we've ever had that was not ROI positive in some way or another.
How did you handle it?
Fortunately, a lot of the problems and reasons, like, we shot the video and ready to launch, and then there was a 10-month delay for various supply chain reasons. By that time, it was over. So it was pretty easy to pass the buck on that one, to be honest. It's always easy when you fail to just blame it on someone else.
Yeah.
But dude, it was hard. It's hard because you look in the mirror and you're like, I just blew 300 grand and we made like 30 grand back. Like,
that's more what I meant. I wasn't like, did you get in trouble for it? I more meant like, how did you internally process the loss? How did you internally process the loss? What did you do with it?
It was hard, man. It was like, because these are people's livelihoods. You just lost somebody a house, a cheap house
in Idaho.
Yeah. Dude, $350 like, in Idaho, you're doing, it's a pretty nice house.
I'm like, what houses are you looking at, bro?
Yeah, $350 there is going to get you a little 600 square foot basement with a water heater in your face. Dude, I'm excited to hang. I'm excited to talk more. I'm excited to do this JV thing, man.
I have an assignment for you, Travis, sincerely. Between now and the next time we speak, not text message. We can text message bullshit like I told you we would. Before the next time we speak, and I don't want you to disappoint me on this, I want you to make a list. It can be as short or as long as you'd like. as long as you give it adequate consideration, right? Don't just like write a bullet because it's a homework assignment, of what you would like from me to explosively contribute power and synergy and elevation and strength where there is weakness, light where there is darkness, whatever the fuck you can think of, without reciprocal consideration. And I will endeavor without reservation to say yes to whatever is on that list.
You're talking division of labor.
I want you to cut my kid's hair because I really want that to happen. Or I want to take 97 brands and I would like you.
You're talking mission. Mission is what you're talking.
Or tasks or anything in your life or purpose or I would do but can't because or whatever the fuck it is. Just let your brain spin. That you believe in some capacity, one way or another, I have the capacity to resolve for you or empower or elevate or whatever. And I want you to just come to me and say, I would like this. I would like this. I would like this unapologetically and like without worrying about the reciprocation part of what you can do for me.
I like that. That's a very cool proposition. Like I've never heard anyone do that, but I could see there's the power in that.
I'm an abnormal human. My brain works. I told you on the first one, I tried fitting in until I was about fucking, I don't know.
You basically just asked me to make a list of how I can use you and give you nothing else in return. And that's a very cool way, honestly, to figure out the value exchange. It's pretty cool.
I'm not worried about the exchange.
Are you going to give me the same list?
If you would like it. if you would like it, I'm happy to. I mean, I would call you a copycat unoriginal little bitch, and for somebody that like,
because you haven't told me the reason yet, so I guess I just have to do it. I can't
like, listen to me. There's nothing subversive
about. No, dude. I'm gonna do it. I'm stoked about this. I see it. I'm good.
Hold on. Do you want to know cool. why? Like, you're like, you haven't told me the reason yet. I know why. Tell me.
This is the basis of figuring out how the puzzle pieces fit.
I want you to be able, I challenge my employees. I don't anymore because I just fucking disgustingly crush them because I've been playing this game a lot longer than they have. But in the beginning, when I didn't know shit and they didn't know shit, I would challenge my employees to see, I would tell them, like after they were hired, I am going to endeavor to out-contribute to your life more than you can contribute to mine or the company, or I am going to create more benefit and contribution, and I'm going to relentlessly pursue that to always be giving more than you are. And it becomes a pissing contest in the positive direction. And there's no strategy. The reason I phrased it the way that I phrased it is because it makes you think about what your true pain points are. But for X, Y, and Z, I would do this. Yeah. I would do that. You know what I mean?
I think it's a very cool practice.
It gives me the problems that I need to begin to work towards solving to make you and your situation better. What it also does is
you know what I want and you know the value I need. There's no like, it's just all out there because you already know the value that I have. And then it's awesome.
Homie,
you throw that into a freaking operating agreement and you're off to the races.
And exactly. And that's like a one pager, you know?
Yeah.
And the semantics and the numbers and the splits are always the easiest part of the deal for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like it. I love that. You just taught me something. I'm going to use this, man.
Tell me.
Every venture I ever do. I'm going to probably use. It's like someone taught me once that whenever you interview someone, ask who they were in high school because it's a 90% chance that whoever they were in high school is who they are now and they're going to be for the rest of their life. If they were in charge of the freaking chess club and they took their chess club to state, it's chess club, but it's probably someone you want to work with. If they went home from school every day and ate potato chips and watched Mario on the couch, that's probably who they still are. People do change, but this is cool, man. I like this. This is a wise thing.
I want to go back because I was telling you like I gave up on trying to fit in. Remember that? I want to go back now and listen to what I said about who I was when I was younger because I'm interested to see how similar it is, but I think it would still be very accurately representative of who I am right now. It just is taking a different form.
What are like five things roughly like that you were senior year in high school, did, achieved, were?
Unrelenting, egregious, unapologetic dreamer, highly ADD and extroverted as all hell.
Yes, 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 yes. Same.
I would say rebellious, highly driven, and highly misunderstood.
Same. Foot and mouth.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. A student body president, prom king, swim captain, because I wasn't athletic to go to state in any other sports. Tennis captain, choir solo.
Are you serious?
Dude, I was such an overachiever.
I was vice president of ASB, captain of three varsity sports. Captain of three varsity sports.
I won nationals in DECA.
Prom king.
You were prom king? I was prom king. You gotta be freaking kidding.
How is that possible? Like, that's such nerds.
That is weird.
And you know what else is fucking weird? I started high school in a wheelchair, and you were wheelchair bound.
I ended middle school in a wheelchair.
You did.
This is weird, dude. My spine. My spine's tingling. I gotta go home, dude. This is tripping me out. Is this like parallel universe type crap going on?
Whenever something.
Am I Jewish? Wait.
Shit. Do I have to stop cussing and drinking caffeine? This might be a problem.
Have I read the Torah like 5 times already?
You got the nose for it.
Oh, dude, totally. I've got that ready. Good. Dude, I get the Jewish nose and the Mormon baldness.
Do Mormons have bad hair? Are Mormons bald? Is that a thing?
Well, a lot of pioneer Mormons, there's actually less, there's more non-white Mormons than there are white Mormons in the world.
Also didn't?
There's a lot of pioneer Utah Mormons that were English and Nordic. And Nordics just go bald. Like they're genetically modified to wear hats all winter long.
Genetically modified. That's not the nurture. That's not nurture. That's not due to their environment. You know what I mean? Genetically.
They need to be bald to get enough vitamin D in the winter. Like straight up.
I'm learning, dude. That's biologically incredible. One more thing, and this is a real
That's biologically incredible.
Yeah, since that application is fucking like, it would blow my yarmulke off if I was wearing one. So, luckily, I won't have to if I'm turning into the Mormon guy. But check it out. The other thing that it does is naturally we inhibit what we want somebody to be able to contribute to us based on what we feel we're capable of contributing to them, because you have a natural sense of fairness internally.
Yeah.
And I do not want that piece limited.
Yeah.
So if you go, okay, if somehow, some way we could figure out how to like make it worth the while, whatever.
Fairness to a fault is the only type of person I will ever partner with where they would rather be fair than anything else at the end of the day. Very few people are like that.
Which is ironic because I'm inviting you to not limit my ability to contribute.
Yeah.
By fairness.
It's like, dude, it's the same thing with my team. It's like, I don't want you to ask for more. I want to give you more before you demand it. The second you demand it, this relationship is pretty screwed up. That's how partnership is.
Touche.
Marriage.
And we just did that live, by the way. That's fucking rad.
Pretty cool.
The first $1 million we make, I'm fucking serious as a heart attack. You know what I do? Whenever I meet somebody and I can just kind of fucking feel it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just qualified with the word kind of. Whenever I'm around someone and I get that feel, and I know you know what I'm talking about, I take a picture with them. And it's usually very weird because it's not like a place or a time to do that. And they're like, why do you want a picture? I look like shit or whatever. I'm like, because I have a feeling we're going to want a picture of the first time you and I ever communicated. You know? Because it's funny to look back. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to fucking pee in like Liz's pants in about 4 seconds, and your wife is going to castrate you.
Sounds good, dude. Hey, bro.
I fucking appreciate who and what you are, my man.
See you later, prom king. Gimp. You gimp. Jewish gimp prom king.
Hey, we'll be in touch soon. I very, very much appreciate your time. I know that it was an inconvenience.
No, I'm stoked.
It was an enjoyable inconvenience. You don't even have to tell me. I get where you're at. Hang up and get the fuck out of here.
All right, man.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now.